Okay, a question for everyone, including Mr. Brody here
I'm
in
ready.
KJZZ Studios. Have you ever wondered why Hollywood is so focused on remakes?
I just assumed it was a good way to make money.
Well, I'm sure that is one reason, right?
That's got to be, right?
Anyone to blame? Have you ever heard anybody say, gosh, they can't come up with an original thought?
I've not actually heard any specific person singled out for why that is. Like, is there one person that is, like, the head of who's responsible for all this?
I wish it was me, right? Well, the person to blame might be you.
Oh, no, not me. Well, add it to the list.
It could be your fault, depending on your age. I talked recently with Benjamin Ho. He is a professor of behavioral economics at Vassar College. He studies the economic impact of nostalgia. And I started by asking him why we're so drawn to stuff we've already seen or heard.
Nostalgia, I think, appeals to a fundamental human emotion, which is the need for social connectedness. We form really strong memories during our teenage years. Neuroscientist Sapolsky says that, you know, the way the brain works, it's evolved to sort of form our preferences as teenagers and early 20s. And nostalgia tends to bring us back to those times when we have sort of positive, powerful positive memories. And marketers take advantage of that to sort of wrap us in a warm blanket and sort of wrap their own products in that same warm blanket.
Okay, Benjamin, I got to cut in here because not everybody had wonderful experiences throughout their teenage years. So, I mean, is there a risk to that? Or is it just everybody seems to think the teenage years were better than they were?
Yeah, exactly. I think with time, we sort of see our past with rose-colored glasses. So a lot of people must have had turbulent teenage years, but I think over time, you know, at least the data seems to show that nostalgia seems to work in making us sort of feel warm, make us feel socially connected, make us feel sort of positive thoughts.
And based on your research, you believe that nostalgia's economic power comes from what you call appreciation and depreciation. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so most things tend to depreciate over time. You know, we sort of see this by just looking at old movies like Avatar, for example, that had its heyday when it came out. And sort of over time, you know, mentions of it sort of disappear as people just sort of get tired of it. But other properties, it sort of age like a fine wine. So there's an economist named Joel Waldfogel that talks about the vintage of media properties. And I look at certain media properties like, say, the Marvel comic book movies that tend to appreciate. The reasons for this are manifold. They have to do with the timing of when people are teenagers. We find that sort of the most, you know, effective nostalgic movies had their heyday in the early 80s or the early 60s. They have to do with the kinds of people that are consuming different goods at different times. And we find that, you know, if you have sort of hit the right combination of social pressures, that some properties can sort of appreciate. And those are the most nostalgic movie properties and just cultural properties out there.
You have said that in 2017, so far this year, there have been 34 TV spinoffs of old franchises. And then in all of last year, the top 10 grossing movies, only two were original. Are we being manipulated by Hollywood?
I don't know if it's manipulation, but what I look at is sort of how our need for nostalgia, especially in the movies we watch, tends to track the state of the economy. I find that especially in times of low consumer confidence or in times of sort of economic uncertainty, we tend to look for more older nostalgic properties because of this warm blanket property where it sort of makes you feel warm and fuzzy. And so I think there's probably a lot of anxiety in the world right now, and that's sort of causing us to sort of look backward more and more for comfort.
So we've talked about movies. What about music? I was sitting at home a few nights ago and just had the TV on in the background, and I heard a Hall & Oates song, and it made me look up, and I went, oh, and it got me thinking about the song and not necessarily the product. So how does playing music impact what I'm going to buy, or does it?
Yeah, I think music is especially psychologically resonant. Spotify recently just did their, like, throwback playlist product, which basically plays music from when you were in high school. And that was one of their most successful product launches of all time. I think Sapolsky also, the neuroscientist, has looked at the effect of music and how it sort of imprints in your brain in your teenage years and sort of stays with you your entire life. And so marketers know that by playing music that appeals to teenagers of the target demographic, they could have their product associated with these warm, fuzzy feelings. Marketers tend to aim at people age 35 to 55 because those are people at their peak spending power.
What are the downsides, or are there any?
I mean, I think there's always downside when marketers try to use our emotions to manipulate us to buy something. On the whole, I see nostalgia as a positive emotion. It tends to sort of, you know, make people feel warm and happy and socially connected. One study finds that people that are feeling nostalgic tend to donate more to charities and tend to be more altruistic to people. So I think it's a good feeling. But, you know, if it ever causes us to sort of buy things we don't want to buy because we're momentarily distracted by fuzzy thoughts about our high school dance, then I'm sure it has its downsides in that sense as well.
So we have no one to blame but ourselves. And if we really want to blame someone, we should blame the, what'd you say, 35 to 55-year-olds?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really consumers driving this process. The writer Adam Gopnik sort of thinks that it's because we have all these 55-year-old, you know, writers who are nostalgic about their high school days. But in a lot of media research, we find that it's actually consumers driving what's produced. And that because 35 to 55-year-old consumers are nostalgic for their high school days, we sort of see that the Hollywood and the media are responding to that desire.
Benjamin Ho is a professor of behavioral economics at Vassar College.